Why don't we welcome Greg Hubbard one more time as he comes back up here. See you,
praise the Lord. There's 94 things I want to share with you this afternoon. And I'm only kidding you. I don't know 94 things about anything, so everything's okay. And I know it's the end of the day and this and that. Your stomachs are ground. We're going to get right at this. And what a great day this. I've enjoyed today, man. I've needed today. Enjoyed listening to Pastor Kurt, his insight, his clarity, teaching, answering questions. And I'll be using the laptop, iPad, iPhone. That's one of the greatest. What an incredible analogy for the Trinity. And we're glad that you're here. I know it's been a long day for some, but we pray that you're going to leave after tomorrow special with a fresh hunger for the Spirit of God like never before. But I want to share for a couple of moments, and I promise it's going to be brief this afternoon, on the quiet side of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When we usually hear about the baptism, it usually is speaking in, and we often equate that with noise and volume, and it may not necessitate loudness or volume or whatever. And I've watched some receive the baptism on the altar, their voice above a whisper, and they're praying in tongues. I've watched others that when they receive, it's like they put their finger in the electrical socket, and they're just shouting out in tongues like a machine gun. And, I'm okay with all of it. But I want to say this. There's other evidences to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're given a physical evidence that we can know that we receive in the benefit of praying in tongues, but there is a quiet side to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Without a handle on the quiet side of the baptism, it can frustrate other areas, your ability to witness, and what is just the purpose of the baptism. So I want to address some different areas that must be, I believe, a part of all of our lives to be effective soul winners and witnesses. And so I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 6. And chapter 6, if you want the notes, some of you give me their email, I'll email you, whatever. And Acts chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5, and then I'm going to read verse number 8. So Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it goes like this. How many are ready? You got one more service in you this afternoon? You got one more? Okay, about six of us raised our hands. So the rest of you, just sleep quietly, and I'll be done in a few moments, all right? If you snore, we'll cast that thing out of you, whatever. But I'm only kidding you. But Acts 6, verse 1 reads like this. In those days, while the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all disciples together, and they said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Verse 5, should the proposal please the whole group, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Then look down verse 8, it says, now Stephen, a man full. Now we're fighting over and over that phrase, a man full. Was full of God's grace and power and performed great wonder and signs among the people. Imagine, you say, Greg, how can I know that I've received the baptism in the Spirit, that I'm living a Spirit-filled life? Initial evidence, tongues, but there's other evidences that must accompany speaking with other tongues. And so let me set this up to you. 2,000 years ago, the church, I was going like crazy, and people getting saved. It was all exciting, and it's great when a church grows. Healthy bodies should grow. Healthy bodies should always grow. If I came in, I'm 58 years old. I look a lot older than that. I appreciate that, but if I came in wearing diapers with my blankie and my baba, you'd think something is wrong with the big fella. Healthy bodies should develop, and they should grow. And the church was growing, but there was a problem. And some of the widows are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Say, Greg, what does that have to do with Spirit-filled living? It actually has a lot to do with it. And so they got together 2,000 years ago, the early church leaders. They said, listen, we need to be in prayer and seeking God's face, studying the Word. But this situation, overlooking widows, it's a big deal. Now, here's what they did not do. They did not say, somebody get a clipboard and a piece of paper and put a sign-up sheet out in the church lobby and tell everybody, look, we need people to deliver soup and bread on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's not what they did. I'm not saying that, don't take that too far. I'm not saying that sign-up sheets are of the devil and that you should never use a sign. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying this. The early church recognized the importance of being known to be full of the Spirit of God. Now, people may never see you pray in tongues in private, but they'll see you live a spiritual life in public. And so imagine, they didn't put up a sign, look, just get anybody, just get, no big deal. Anybody can deliver soup and bread, whatever. They said, no, we want people known to be full of the Spirit. And so they chose seven men. One of them was Stephen. Stephen was the guy that was stoned to death because of his love for the Lord. And so you look at Stephen, and you find in Stephen a portrait in the Scripture, a portrait of what a Spirit-filled person is supposed to look like. We all have different gifts and different talents and whatever, but friends, we must portray the authenticity of what a Spirit-filled person is to look like. And so it says this. It says, number one, now what these things I'm going to mention, I'm going to go with them very quickly, and we're going to pray together. But there's a progression. There's a flow to these things. And the first thing it says is that they chose Stephen, the Bible tells us, he's a man full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. The first thing it tells us, Stephen was full of the Spirit, but also full of wisdom. Now, that's important. Remember back in the Bible, of course, many, many years ago, back in 1 Kings when God in Gibeon appeared to Solomon, imagine God waking you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, tickling your toes and waking you up and saying to you, whatever you want, it's yours. What was it like? And the Lord appears to Gibeon, and whatever you want. And Solomon responded, not by, I want a boat, I want a condo on the shore. He says, I want wisdom more than any other man has ever known. Think of all he could have asked for, but he asked for wisdom. And God responds back to him and says, listen, read it yourself in 1 Kings chapter 3. It'll be in my notes if I email them to you. And God says, look, you know what? Because you asked for that and not for wealth or riches, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for, and I'm going to give you what you did ask for. I'll give you wisdom like never been given to any man. Wisdom is critical in the life of a spiritual person. Because some feel that, man, if I'm full of the Spirit, that means I check my brains in at the door and never walk with, we kind of shoot from it. Listen, spiritual people, when you're full of the Spirit, you should be full of wisdom at the same time. Now, James talks about this. There in the book of James, over in chapter 3, it talks about wisdom, which comes from above, and wisdom that comes from below. And the Bible tells us the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers are sowing peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. And they say, great, but you know what? The baptism in wisdom, where does that fit with evangelism? The Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. You say, great, I want to be effective. I want to live a spiritual life. It's going to require that we walk in the power of the wisdom of the Spirit of God. And Pastor Kirk covered that in his comments a little bit ago. When someone asked a question, do you just do what the Spirit says, you know, all the time? Yes, but it's always harnessed by wisdom. God gives his people wisdom. Doesn't it take wisdom nowadays to raise up your children? Wisdom to live for God in a public high school? Wisdom to be a witness in the culture that we live in? So my prayer for all of us, that we'll say, you know what, Lord, this Saturday, conference of the Spirit, yes, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want the baptism. I use my prayer language. But coupled with that, I want to walk with the wisdom that doesn't come from below, which is divisive and which is evil. James talks about that. But I want wisdom that comes from God the Father himself. So when somebody, now this doesn't make the headlines. This doesn't make up, but I'm telling you, people that God used it to be great soul winners and to live spiritually, they're people that walk in biblical wisdom. It's so important. The Bible tells us if we ever lack wisdom, that bring it to God, because, you know, don't be worried. God will not find fault with you, but God will give wisdom to those who ask. So number two, the quad side of the baptism. A spiritual person doesn't only walk with wisdom, but remember, they're choosing people to deliver soup and bread to widows. They wanted people known to be full of the Spirit. How many want to be known by others? I mean, that person, they're full of the Spirit. Not because when they sing, they go like this, whatever, but they live a life of biblical, godly wisdom. Second thing, the progression. It says Stephen, the Bible talks about, wasn't only a man who was full of the Spirit and of wisdom. It said they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now, faith and wisdom do not fight each other. Wisdom and faith complement each other. One without the other, we can make some terrible mistakes. There's something powerful about somebody spirit-filled and that they walk with wisdom, but also walk in faith. Now, why is that important? Why is that we walk in faith important? Because the Bible says that a person without faith cannot please God. That's a pretty big deal. How many want to please God? Greg, I want to be a God pleaser. How many want to please God? Must be a person that walks in biblical faith. And where does faith come from? By hearing and hearing by the word of God. I mentioned that a few moments ago. And so the person whose spirit's filled will be a person that lives a life of biblical balanced faith. But when I say balance, I'm not talking that we're stiff and we, oh, I'm talking risk takers. I'm talking people that walk in faith will have a hard time being understood by people that don't walk in faith. People that walk in faith, my friend, listen, if you're in the room and say, Greg, you know what, I'm here, never cracked my Bible, never in the Word, you know, never allowing God to talk to them, you'll always struggle being around people with faith. Because they see, people that pray, that they see things and they hear things that those that never pray are never going to see and never going to hear. There's something powerful about being a person that walks in faith. We just saw the gift of faith and exhortation a few moments ago. Kelly, when you were leading us in that great worship set, and you asked us to paint a picture of the heavens opening, man, that was building faith all over this room. I just sense faith rising up in her for all of us, that things could be obliterated in our lives that God wants us to know victory for. So there's something powerful. Again, we're at the altar, in our prayer, we pray in tongues, yes. But in the marketplace, in the world, we must be a people that walk in faith. Amen? I want to give an example of this. If I told this another visit years ago, pretend like you never heard it. Our first trip I mentioned this morning was in Egypt. We love Egypt. I haven't been there in a lot of years. But I remember one time being there at the orphanage in Egypt, and we're in the director of the orphanage, his wife's office. Her name was Fateya. And we're there, and her job was to feed all the children. And a massive task to feed all those kids. They prayed for miracles and this and that, whatever. And they could give stories of miracles and supplies and, oh, my word, all these things. And one time some cargo ships and got abandoned or stuck off, I think, Alexandria and Egypt. And they didn't know what to do with the food. And it all ended up at the Living Trash Orphanage. And, I mean, listen, God is a miracle worker God. If the need is ships, God will send ships with food on for you. But she just shared one message of faith, and she said there was one of the workers, I actually met him, I know him, named Kamis. And Kamis works with junior high boys. I'm going to show you when faith is in action. And she said he came in the office, and he said, Sister Fateya, the seventh grade boys are working so hard in school. They're studying for their exams. And he said they deserve a surprise, but they deserve a treat. He said, my boys, I chocolate cookies. I want to give them chocolate cookies. And she said, Greg and Robin looked at Kamish, and I said, Kamish, come on, you're off base. I love your zeal. You love the boys. And no, look, we need bread. We need the basic things to feed the children. You're talking chocolate cookies? Now, you're about to get way ahead of me in the story, but let me finish the story. Some days go by. He walked out of the office. He said, just kind of saying, no, chocolate cookies, chocolate cookies, chocolate cookies. And it was a few days later, a man shows up at the orphanage. Now, you're going to get ahead of me, but let me finish this. He owns an import store in Asyut, Egypt. And he asked when the orphanage, and everyone knows the orphanage there, and asked for the person responsible to feed all the children. So they went up and knocked on the door. So he goes out to the front gate. I can see that gate and that dirt road by water and the outdoor market and the whatever. And she goes out. And there's a guy. He says, I need your help. He said, I'm an import owner, store owner, like a grocery store, for lack of other words, but it isn't very large. He said, one of my workers did inventory. We ordered new food and whatever. He said, one of my workers made a huge mistake, and there was a box truck in front of the orphanage. He said, we're a small store. He said, I have 100 large boxes. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? 100 large boxes of ginger snaps. No, that wasn't what he had. I get 100 boxes of chocolate cookies. He said, can you please help me? Because I don't know what to do with these, and there's too many, whatever. He said, I'm begging you. Can you take these off my hands? She called for Kamis. He came over. She said, Kamis, you're not going to believe this. This guy owns the import store in town, and there's 100 large crates of chocolate cookies inside that truck. He said it was as if Kamis was expecting a truckload of cookies all day long. He gave God thanks. He gave God glory. He was overwhelmed and in awe, but he would share that he expected God was going to meet them. Now, my point is this. Say, Greg, you know what? It's nice. It's a cute story, whatever. Nothing cute about it. Nothing cute. It's nice. The point is this. When we walk in faith, when we choose to walk in faith, now, Bible says many will depart from the faith in the last days. And Jude says that there will come, that there will be people in churches who do not have the Spirit, but instead they're led by natural instinct. Many of our churches in America today are being led by natural instinct. We're doing things because that's what we've done, whatever. But when you walk in faith, my friends, you might do things that nobody's ever thought of, or people look at you and say, you're crazy. And the point is this. When we walk in faith, if the need is chocolate cookies, our God will send a truckload of chocolate cookies. He's a God that responds to faith every single time. He's faithful. I believe there could be somebody breathing in the room this afternoon, and God's saying to you, I want you to be known as a person of great wisdom. And I want you to know to be a person that walks in great biblical faith. What is it God may be asking of you that's bigger than yourself? And God will never call us to something that we can achieve in the natural. It's always going to be bigger than us. It's always going to be bigger than us. And because in our vision, we must have a dependency that only God can fulfill the dream in our lives. Maybe there's somebody in the room and God's saying to you, I want you to dream bigger. I want you to dream bigger. Just expect that. Listen, God is a great big God. Amen. We saw this guy met me about a month or two ago, and we're in a coffee shop. Can I meet you for coffee? He had been on a mission trip with us to Africa, and we'll call him, for the sake of, we'll call him Art. We'll call him Art, because actually his name is Art. And I was with Art at a coffee shop. We're sitting down at the coffee shop in Pennsylvania. And we're talking about our need to buy land in Zimbabwe to build churches. We have crusades every year. I go in a few months to another one. But also, we want to start building schools in Africa, in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's a mess. And Islam has said, we'll come in, we'll build 2,000 schools. The church must rise up and build schools to raise up those kids to learn to follow Jesus. When we're there in May, we'll do a crusade at night, and we do school assemblies all day long. And we love the great young people, but it costs money. It costs money. And I'm sitting there in the cafe. He says, man, I enjoyed the trip, whatever. And he says, I just sense God moving on me. And we're praying, God open up doors, whatever. And this guy, I can't give it because I gave his name, whatever. I am talking thousands upon thousands of dollars every year. He said, I am all in on this. I'm all in. He said, I want to partner with you in the vision to build churches in Zimbabwe and to build schools. And the number he shared, I mean, I walked out of that coffee shop, not because of too strong coffee, by the way, but I walked out of that, you ever just kind of like the scarecrow. I remember this on the Wizard of Oz, you ever just kind of the scarecrow, and I'm not talking Elvis, whatever, but he said, I'm all in. He's made a promise. Every year, I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars every year.
to see Zimbabwe impacted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the idea is this. We find out, if you follow me, when you step out in faith, God's ready to show us how big he is, how good he is, how he's always willing to supply all of our needs. So my prayer is this. Let's not get churchy, man. Let's not get religious. Let's stay fresh. Let's be filled with God's spirit and walk in the wisdom, but not be afraid to walk in faith. Somebody say amen if you're still with me. The third thing, almost done here. When someone is known to be full of God's spirit, you'll be full of the spirit and wisdom. You'll be full of the spirit and faith. But then it also talks about how Stephen was a man full of grace and power. When you're filled with God's spirit, there'll be wisdom and faith and now grace. That's a part of our lives. Now, what do I mean by grace? Colossians talks about this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bible talks about this. And how we, when I say grace, let me say this. When I say, I'm not talking saving grace. I'm not talking, you know, salvation. I'm speaking about grace. It also means divine enablement. And did you ever meet somebody and you saw them and you say, you know, there's such a grace about them. There's a grace about them. There's probably folks in this room right now you can look at and go, yeah, that person, but such a Christian grace about them of kindness and gentleness and compassion. Spirit-filled people must be clothed with grace, kindness. I think of people right now in our lives. I'm not trying to embarrass my wife, but one of the first things that ever attracted me to her, my mother lost a wonderful woman, but one of the first things that I remember is Robin, she still does, 30, she has a grace about her. And after 37 years, there's a grace and a gentleness, there's something powerful about walking with a grace, a kindness in our lives. And I remember one girl come up to me, and I don't think I shared it here. I might be thinking back to Wednesday, whatever. But a girl in our youth group many years ago, and we'll call her Karen because her name was Karen. And Karen came up to me one night as a high school kid. She said, Greg, God really used me this week in school as a witness. I said, that's incredible, Karen. That's awesome. How did he use you? I'm so happy. I'm just so thrilled that God used you as a witness. What happened? She said, in the cafeteria. And with my friends and some guys and girls, and another boy came in and put down his tray. And we're sitting there talking, and he let out some terrible, terrible swear words. I knew that was my moment to stand up for God. Should I get up? I looked, and I said, you are a filthy pig. And I'm a Christian. I can't listen. She slammed her tray. She barfed out of the cafeteria. If you want to go that route, you might want to tweak your soul-winning skills. Come on. There's something powerful about being nice. Say, Greg, I want God to use me to be a soul winner. It won't happen if you never smile at anybody. Not going to happen if everybody's the enemy. Everybody's the never time for people. We don't look over people. We look at people. We'll never win the thousands if we can't win the one. There's something so powerful about being kind and gentle. How many of you ever blown it and you weren't that way when you should have been? Anybody besides me? I'm lifting up my hands and my feet, everything I got. Can I give an example how important this is? We're in meetings in Pennsylvania. And the pastor, we're driving there before you ever move there. And I drive into a Dunkin' Donuts because that's always the will of God. Any Starbucks people in the room? Starbucks, best cup of coffee you can buy for $49.95 a cup. You really can't beat it. You really can't beat it. And so we are going to Dunkin' Donuts, and it's a hot summer. I just wanted a coffee or whatever, and a bagel. Just want to get a bagel. Robin wanted a tea, and I wanted a bit, just, you know, coffee, tea, bagel, toasted cream cheese. It's just really nothing major there. And I walked in, and it was a little unusually hot in there, and that's a part of the story. But I go in, and there's an elderly, she's older than I, but I don't know. But she's a little bit older, and she's got her back to me. There's nobody else in the store. Nobody's in there, me and her. Nobody else in there. Nobody else. No other orders going on, just me and her. And she got her back to me, and you know, after a while, when someone got their back, and just that, then you start the trying to communicate with her, not by things like this. and just kind of like a little whistle, whatever. She wouldn't turn around. She wouldn't turn around. And I'm thinking, I don't know, whatever. And finally, after I said, ma'am, and she said, yes. And everything went downhill from there. She said, can I help you? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if you can. I'm thinking, sounds like I might need to help you. And so I had to place an order. She says, what do you want? Really a picker-upper of a moment, I want to tell you. And I just said, well, ma'am, I said I'd like a coffee black and a tea with a little bit of milk. And then she, as I'm talking, she turns her back on me. That's always nice. She turns her back in, and I'm talking to her back. And I said, I'm looking at her back. I'd like two bagels toasted with cream cheese. And she wheels around, and she says, and I quote, I'm not putting the cream cheese on your bagel. I'm not doing it. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Am I dreaming this? Greg, you're making this up. Oh, no, I'm not. And But can I tell you? Now, you're way too spiritual. You know what I wanted to say to her? You know what I wanted to say to her? Now, you're all spiritual, I know. You would have wrote her up a love offering and give her a hug. And what I wanted to say was, I didn't say it, but what I wanted to say is, ma'am, excuse me. Hey, ma'am, remember the order I just gave you? How about we bag that order, ma'am? I don't want your bagels. I don't want your coffee either. Matter of fact, your bagels stink at Dunkin' Donuts. They're stale. They're old. And you know what, ma'am? How long has that coffee been sitting on that pot anyhow? I want to say, ma'am, heavens, listen, there's Einstein bagel. There's New York bagel. There's all kind of bagels. Hey, ma'am, you can forget. Ma'am, I don't want the order. What is your problem? You're thinking, Greg, I think you might have some issues of yourself here. What I wanted to say, really, was, hey, you know what, ma'am? I wanted to say, ma'am, you know what? Forget the order. What is this? Where's your boss? I mean, yeah, I'm just being in the flesh. I know you're way too spiritual, whatever. Think of anything like this. But I'm thinking, ma'am, please, just forget the order. And walk. And the Spirit of God spoke to me in Dunkin' Donuts. And God said, you be gentle and you be sweet to this lady. You say, Greg, do you respond immediately? Not quite immediately, but it was like, Lord, just kind of say something, whatever. Just at least walk out. It was just so bizarre and so over the top. It was weird. Like I walked into like a skit or a drama. It was goofy. It was so over the top. And then she's baking the coffee and the tea, but God whispered and said, you speak kind and you speak nice to her. And so I'm standing there at the counter. I'm just thinking, ma'am, how's your day going? And that didn't turn out well either. She wheeled back around and she said, it's not going too good. And I'm thinking, well, surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm thinking to myself, I'd cast the devil out of you, but I feel bad for the devil that might be. I mean, man, you are a piece of work, I'm telling you right now. She said, I'm working the second shift. She said, the person never called in, and my feet are killing me. The air conditioner's off, and it was hot. It was like an illustrated sermon on hell in that place, and it was hot. She says, my feet are killing me, and I'm exhausted. I'm having a horrible day, and she turned back around, and she went to great lengths to not put the cream cheese on the bagel. I mean, just put the cream. She didn't put, and she makes it, and I just said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. It is awful hot in here, and I'm so sorry. I hope your day goes better. And I I would never said that the Lord just, this isn't me. It's because it was the Lord who checked me. I said, man, I just pray your day goes better. I'm so sorry. And she didn't like fall down on the floor, repent. And she's not like serving God in Asia as a missionary today, as far as I know. Maybe she is, but she still might be in Dunkin' Donuts putting cream cheese on the side for people. But But I said, well, you know, ma'am, again, I'm sorry. And I just, you know, God bless you. I pray God strengthens you. And I'm sorry you're having a day like this. And I walked out. I get in the car. Robin says, boy, that took some. She said, boy, that was really good. She looked at her phone, email, but looking up. She said, that lady just seemed so expressive and friendly. Just you were talking, that just nice, whatever. I said, well, I'll tell you. I think she might be related to Jezebel, but I'm not quite sure what her name is. It's a little bit of a, you know, it wasn't really that enjoyable. And so I left the Dunkin' Donuts with the coffee, the tea, and the bagels with cream cheese on the side. Sunday afternoon comes. You're going to get ahead of me in the story. The pastor's wife took us out for dinner. Walking out of the restaurant, the pastor's taking us out. We're walking out, the cash out, whatever. We walk by a table. We're behind the pastor and his wife. And a table stops, and the woman's back is to me. The woman. Her back is to me. And the husband's sitting there, and the pastor stopped and said, friends, good to see you. How's it going? Been a long time we've seen you. We miss you guys. We miss you in church. And how's it going? And he looked up and was so grateful, pastor, this and that, whatever. And good to see you. And the pastor said, we have guests this week through Wednesday night. It's Greg and Robin. And that's when she turned around and our eyes met. And we had a moment together. I looked at her. She looked at me. And I'm thinking, I remember you. I had all I could do, because I'm not that spiritual. I had all I could do to lean over and go, let me put the butter on your piece of bread for you. Let me just take care of that for you. She looked at me, and you ever just see someone, she kind of went like this looking at me, and I'm going, hello, it's me, I'm back. And I walked out of the restaurant, and I got in the car, and I got all choked up thinking, thank you, Jesus, that you love people so much, you protected me from being a reproach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had my natural just take an over and just to snap back and to lash back. And again, I'd be more than most people here. But I'm grateful that when you and I are filled with the Spirit, He can enable us to walk with a grace. Kindness still packs a wallop. Say, Greg, I want God to use me. I want to be a blessing to people. Then say, Lord, I want to walk with wisdom. I want to walk in faith. And I want to walk full of grace. I want you to divinely enable me to handle situations in the natural that may be uneasy. It may be difficult when we want to maybe smack somebody or slice them with our tongue. But man, aren't we living in a world right now that the world is starving for kindness? And you know, one way I know this, I forget where we were. We do this happens often, but even last night at the hotel, wonderful young man at the counter or whatever, and I was so gracious, hospitable, and the manager walked out, and I just said, ma'am, are you the manager? And I could see immediately she was getting this, yes, I am, but getting ready for the hit. I said, I just want, this guy's doing a tremendous job. I said, if we can maybe increase salary, company car. But I said, seriously, this is a great young man you got here, being so gracious, so kind, whatever. The world doesn't expect kindness. It doesn't. If you don't believe me, go to a restaurant and be authentic, good service. Call for the manager. Try this. They come to your table. They're waiting to hear some bad news. Look at that manager and say, I want to tell you that this guy or girl, they work so hard at restaurants, don't they? Man, they were so gracious. And you watch like a blanket, because the world doesn't expect kindness. May you and I walk known to be full of God's Spirit, because we walk as a people. But it doesn't do any good to pray in tongues, but then we're mean to everybody. That's not spiritual living. Full of God's Spirit, yes, we're transformed by God's power. We pray in the Spirit. We're edified. The Lord's magnified. And we walk with wisdom. We walk with faith. And we walk with grace. Last thing is this. I'm going to be done. You with me? You got one more second? We're going to be done with this. Pastor Kurt said, if you could end by 9 o'clock tonight, that would be great. But I cannot go that long. I'm going to end right now. Okay, he didn't say that. You know that. It ends with power. It's a Stephen. Was full of grace and power. Amazing to me. The last thing mentioned in the portrait of a spiritual person
It ends with what we first think about, the spirit of baptism. Think about power. And yes, you receive the baptism, you will know power in your life, power to be a witness. But Stephen was known to be full of the Spirit. It talks about wisdom first. It talks about faith. Then it talks about grace. And then it talks about power. Like wisdom and faith work together, grace and power must work together. Because the one that wants the function of power but not grace will always hurt people in their path. Because there's like a focus, and look at I flow with power. It's my deal. And we'll trample people. But when we're full of God's Spirit, it isn't about us. Someone say yes. It isn't about us. But lifting up the name that's above every other name. It isn't did I just hit my tooth on this microphone? I think I did. Okay, well, anyway. But power. And like I was saying a moment ago, have you ever done that before? I cracked my tooth. My word. Thought this for a minute was so hungry. I thought it was an ice cream cone. For a minute, I just went after it. I'm hungry. I'm ready for the fatted calf. How about you? Come on. Don't you put a bowl of soup in front of me right now. Come on. Power. Power without grace and without wisdom and faith can cause great damage. But Stephen says was a man full of grace and power. Did miraculous signs among the people. And we're going to end with this. Someone playing is there. I'm not sure if it's Adam. You've been here all day. Thank you, man. We'll get you a pay raise for this one, I promise you. You and the team, and awesome. Thank you so much. And a country western, if you could, for this afternoon. Could you do that, whatever? But whatever. As you just play something soft, we're going to end in prayer in a moment, because there's something powerful about being known to be full of the Holy Spirit. And there's people in the room you look at and you go, yeah, I know, I don't mean to embarrass you, Jen, but Jen woke up being kind, hospitable, full of love. I saw her go back to get something for this morning. She hugged 20 people before she got to the back row. We came here Friday night. You talk about a welcome. I mean, it's like gale winds outside. It was windy out. It was so windy, I had Robin drop me off at the front and have her park the car so I could be in here, whatever. I'm only kidding. But I mean, we pull up, whatever, and she's outside looking, the wind blowing all over, just looking and whatever. Just, that might seem kind of silly to some, but not to us. But I think Jen Landeth and kindness and friendliness. I think of Move to Lynn. I think all those things. What do people know about you? When they hear your name, what do they think about when they hear your name? You're probably not going, oh yeah, they speak in tongues. Probably not. But maybe I remember when I went through a hard time, and yeah, some people gave me a Bible verse, but that they came over and did my laundry and cooked meals. They'll remember that stuff. The world is starving for grace, but the world needs power. How does Stephen function in power? Well, I'm sure there were other ways he was used in power, but one is this. It says he did miracles among the people. How did he have access to be among the people? One of the ways was delivering soup and bread. So just picture, honey, is my mouth okay? Is it okay? And I don't want you sitting there going, oh, this guy. Oh, but and so Stephen gets up one morning. He's chosen one of the seven. He goes to the church. He goes to 65 Monroe Street. He comes in and says, hi, my name is Stephen. I was chosen by the leadership. I'm here. Where to go? Can I dramatize this out? I don't know where to go, Stephen. I've been chosen to deliver soup and bread to the widows. I'm not quite sure. And Stephen, thank you so much. We've been waiting for you. And you go up the stairs, and the kids are in the back. There's several tables. And at one table, you'll find some burlap bags. And another table, we have just soups on this other table. We got Progresso. We got Chunky. We got Campbell's. We have a cup of noodles. We have Progresso. We got chowder. We have kind of breads. We got wheat. We got pumpernickel. We got rye. We got oatmeal. We got 7-nut bread, 9-nut bread, 12-nut bread, whatever. We have mixed nut. We got raisin bread. We have Wonder Bread. Helps you, you know, Wonder Bread. And we've got Ezekiel bread for the real spiritual, whatever. And that enjoy cardboard. But we have all kinds of. We have all kinds of. And then there's another. Listen, there's another table. There's pieces of paper, and your name will be on the top of one of the papers, and there's a list of addresses of widows. You fill up your burlap bag, You get the sheet with your name on it. You go to the addresses and you deliver bread and soup to the widows. When he woke up that morning, I guarantee you, Oprah wasn't outside with the cameras rolling. NBC, CBS, and it wasn't like when they got up, they all were, you know, go, Steve, go, deliver the bread, go, Steve, go. He just woke up. You see, people, their spirit filled. They do what is unto the Lord. God is their audience. With a sense, the way it should be, that God, I want to, he gets up and he fills the stuff, and then he makes his way to deliver soup and bread to widows. I mean, that was why he was chosen. Known to be spirit-filled, we need you to minister to widows. And when you're ministering to widows, you better have wisdom. You better have faith. You better walk with grace. You might need the power of God as well. And I picture Stephen. Let me just play it out. We're going to be done. I picture him walking up and knocking on the first door. And I just picture a widow woman pushing the door, rather frightened. Before my mom passed and before she was very, very ill, when she was alone at home and by herself, if somebody ever knocked on the door, my mother would get nervous. Can anybody relate to that? I mean, when you're older and so on, I just picture an older woman. Just stay with me, I'm not. She opens to go to that screen, opens to the crack, and looks at a guy she never saw in her life at her front steps. Want here. What who are you? What are you doing? And I can hear Stephen with wisdom and faith and grace and power. He didn't break out in a message in tongues, delivering soup and bread. Nothing too big, nothing too small, whatever God calls us to do. Ma'am, my name is Stephen. Please don't be alarmed. I think I may have gone down like this, ma'am. It's Stephen. No alarm. I'm from the church. Pastor Curtis sent me, and we beg your apologies. Oh, the church is growing. It's growing. We're so thrilled. But in the growth, we've slipped up. We have failed in the distribution of food to people that mean so much to us, the widows, and we're so sorry. It never should have happened. We beg your apologies, and we're going to do our best to be faithful, but you're not forgotten. You matter to God, and you matter to us. I just don't think he would have shouted. I don't think he would have raised his voice. I don't think he would have burst in the room and used, well, I'm just being bold for God, but stood there gently and kind, even back a bit. I really believe this. But I also believe there could have been a moment like this, because it says he did miracles among the people with wisdom, faith, and grace and power. I wonder if there's one woman that may have limped to the door or some, and Stephen noticed it. Maybe just, again, the Bible says that miracles were performed through Stephen among the people. I wonder if there may have been a house he went to visit where he said, man, please don't be alarmed. But I saw you walk to the door limping, and I just, are you doing okay? No, I'm not. My husband, he died 6 months ago, and I miss him. I'm alone, and he did things that just the yard, the trash, and I was taking out the trash, and I slipped, and my hip, it's killing me. I just picture a gentle Stephen with a loaf of bread in one hand and the power of God in the other. So, man, would you mind? Could I have your permission to gently stretch out my hand towards you and pray that in the name of Jesus Christ that your hip would be healed? And I believe that one by one, Stephen and the others walked with wisdom, grace, faith, and power. And God used them to represent Jesus well and to lift up that wonderful name of Jesus and to let a broken world know that God is a good God. Here's my prayer, all that for this. Father, I'm just preaching to myself here this afternoon. Help us in these last days to not just talk about it, not just sing about it, but to be people who are known. Who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together all over this room right now. Come on, let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand together all over this room. Would you lift at least one hand up? It's been a long day, I know. Lift up at least one antenna up to God right where you are right now. Would you do that?
Now I want you to take about 37 seconds and begin to communicate, whether you want to cry out to God or whisper or in your heart. But would you let the Lord know that you want to live out the quiet side of the baptism of the Spirit? That you want to walk with grace. You want to walk with wisdom. You want to walk with faith. And you want to walk with power. But you right now, right where you are, just reach out and say, God, even tonight and tomorrow, I want to live out this Spirit-filled life. Because it's more than altar calls. It's more than being on the altar in the prayer closet. It's living for Jesus on the streets of Lynn, every school, every factory, every home. It's representing Jesus through acts of love and kindness, which I know as a church that you do so well. But I'm praying for all of us to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to live this life full of the Spirit. And church, as you rest your arm and look out for a moment, the only way to die full of the Spirit is to live full of the Spirit. When they dragged Stephen out, Stephen was stoned to death. It wasn't that he suddenly had a nice day of a gentle spirit, but a guy that walked with wisdom, faith, grace, and power. As they stoned him, back in those days, if the first throw didn't kill you, they put you in a pit and everyone would throw a stone until your skull was cracked to pieces and killed. And you read Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8. You read it. As Stephen died, he cried out to God and asked that he would not hold this to their account. He died with a glow of the presence of God all over his face. He cried out and says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. You say, Greg, well, doesn't the Bible often say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father? Yes, Jesus is usually seated at the right hand of the Father. But I believe this, that when you and I walk with wisdom, faith, grace, and power, that when we stand for Jesus well, he always stands up for us. My prayer for every one of us breathing in this room, God, help us by your precious Holy Spirit to live a Spirit-filled life. Before Pastor Kirk comes, I don't mean to embarrass you, but Rebecca, I want you to come. I just want you to come, sweetie, for a moment. I want Rebecca to pray a prayer over everybody. In Romania, they feed about 500 kids every day in Romania. Letting village kids know that Jesus Christ is the answer, that he cares about them. Sometimes spiritual living isn't just wagging a finger telling somebody how hot hell is. Sometimes it's putting a piece of ham between two pieces of bread to let somebody know that God cares about your hungry belly. And Rebecca, these are amazing people in this church, and with an incredible leader, great staff, and sweet, I just want you to pray over them that even to a greater level, that God would so anoint us and help us to live out this Spirit-filled life. So as Rebecca prays, Pastor Kurt will come. You say, Greg, why not an altar call? Well, the altar call for this will happen outside the walls of the church. Do an act of kindness for somebody. Walk with wisdom. Let God give faith and step out in faith in some area. Let God use you in power to speak a word to somebody, to pray over somebody. Believe God to not only heal in the church, but out on the streets, in the marketplace, wherever. Believe for God's power to flow like a river, to flow through your life, but even in a most central way. Pastor Kurt will come when she's done, but Rebecca, pray for this great church family, sweetie, would you?
Thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for Holy Spirit, God. I pray that you will anoint us, God, with your Holy Spirit. I pray that we'll be full of wisdom, God. God, we ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom in decisions, God. I pray that you will guide every one of us, God. I pray that you will guide every person in this place, God, in wisdom, in every step. God, I pray for grace. I pray that you will give us grace, God. God, help us to have kindness in our hearts, God. God, I pray that you will give us your love, God. God, help us to love people as you do, God. I pray that we'll have your heart, God. I pray that we'll have your eyes, God, and your ears, God. I pray that you will touch all of us, God. I pray that you will give us power, but God, I pray that you will give us faith. I pray that when everything seems impossible, I pray that we'll see the possible with you, God. I pray that you will touch every one of us, God. Direct us, guide us, God. And I pray that your anointing will be upon our lives, God. I pray for every person in this place, God. I pray that you will bless them, and I pray that you will keep speaking to them and ministering to them, God. In your name I pray.